The Lord has given me another message in the series on the foundation of truth. And that is where we have dwelt for the most part of the last 3 to 4 months now. And the title of this specific message is Contend for the Faith. So we will read out of the book of Jude. There's one chapter in Jude. We'll read out of the 3rd verse. But before we read that, I want to relate a story, a little bit of history that many of you may be aware of. In 155 AD, Polycarp was arrested for his faith, and he was being persecuted by the Romans. And they gave him opportunity to deny his faith in Christ. They gave him opportunity to recant and to back up. And this is his response to that opportunity. He said, "For 86 years, I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my king who saved me? I believed for 86 years in Jesus Christ. So how can I back away from that now?" So they took him and they tied him to the stake, and they burned him. And the flames would not consume his body. And so they stabbed him so he would die as he sat there and eventually burned to death. He was willing to do that and experience that agony and painful death because he believed with all of his heart that this is right. So with that in mind, Jude wrote, in the 3rd verse, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Polycarp was contending for the faith. What had been given to him and his belief and the doctrinal system of faith through the scripture that he had, he was contending for that faith at the peril of his life. This morning I want to encourage us, just like Jude did, earnestly contend for the faith. And I would ask you this morning, are you earnestly contending for the faith? You see, when we earnestly contending means that we're not just kind of floating along. We're not just kind of going along and however things happen, and I was born into this congregation and I was kind of born into this fellowship. That is not contending for the faith. Contending for the faith means we are actively applying ourselves no matter what the cost, no matter what the sacrifice, and I'm fighting for, contending for that faith that the Lord gave to us in the early morning church. There are a lot of people that are not contending anymore. They are getting spiritually lazy. They are getting spiritually complacent. And Jude said, "It is needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you." Why was it needful? He gave us the reason why he was writing. He said, "I entreat you." In other words, exhort you, I entreat you, I beseech you. This was not just casual writing that Jude was given. He knew the situation that the people were facing, and he said, "It's really important that I write this letter to you. And I feel it is just as needful in our day and age for this exhortation to go out. It is needful for us here this morning. It's needful. It's needful to contend." And that word contend is drawn on, the illustration comes from the Grecian games. If someone were running a marathon or they were in a boxing match, they were contending for the prize. They were striving for it, holding fast in pursuit of. And I want to just ask us possibly some questions as we share the Word of God this morning. Are you contending for the faith? Well, Sunday morning, if I feel good enough, I'll come to service. Depending on how things go Monday and Tuesday, how I behave myself, the way that I act, the things that I do, if things are going good enough, I'll kind of do what the Lord wants. And if not, you know, I'll maybe do better next week. As far as what I believe, someone says, why do you do what you do? We've asked that a lot the last 3 months. Why do you live like you live? Well, that's kind of what my church teaches. That's what my mom and dad taught. So how grandma and grandpa live that way. And I'm kind of going along with that as well. That's not contending for the faith. Contending for the faith is something that no one else can do for me. The congregation can't do it. The pastor can't do it. I have to do it for myself. That, Lord, I am in pursuit of living the way that you want me to live. Well, means we can't afford to be indifferent to our faith. What do you believe this morning? Is that a fair question? What do you believe? What do you believe is right? And then you can share why you believe what you believe is right, but the next question is, why do you believe that? And I want to go beyond grandma and grandpa. I appreciate grandma and grandpas that have lived in the faith, but I'm going to have to go beyond them and contend for this faith. Because, see, Jude wrote this a long time ago, didn't he? This faith is meaning that we are giving it our all. And Jesus said, if you don't forsake all, you can't be what? You can't be my disciple. That's more than just, this is kind of the group I'm kind of going along with. Jesus said, if you don't forsake everything and love me more than everything and everybody else, Jesus said, you can't be my disciple. I would say people that have forsaken all to follow Jesus, they're contending for the faith. So how are we this morning? Can the Lord Jesus look on our lives and say they have left everything? Left your opinions, left your purposes, left your personal goals, left your worldly ambitions, left your desire to fit in and be accepted by the world, and say, Lord, I'm going to follow you no matter how you lead me, no matter where it takes me, Lord, I'm going to follow you with my whole life. Folks, if we don't do that, we are going to lose our soul. If you want someone to pat you on the back and tell you Jesus loves you, and that's the extent of the message, you're in the wrong place this morning. Jesus loves us enough to be honest and upright with his people and said, if you're going to be my disciple, there's something I'm requiring of you. I'm requiring of you that you put me first in your life and contend for the faith. Lord, I'm going to follow you. It's very personal. We are in a fight for our spiritual lives this morning. This is why Jude said way back then, it is needful that I write to you. In other words, there's a reason why I'm writing this, and I exhort you, I entreat you to contend for this faith. What are we supposed to contend for? There are some people that are contending for their traditions. There are some people who are contending for a lifestyle. There are some people that are contending for their political ideologies. There are some people that are contending for their family's name. We, on the other hand, are to be contending for the faith. The system of truth that is unchangeable, unmoving. The faith of the Word of God, the doctrines of the Bible are not my personal standards. It's not, but you understand, I want my standards to fit within these parameters, understand. But we're not preaching personal standards that you need to live up to my standards. We need to come back to the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So how far back are we going to go to find that faith? Some say, well, I live this way because my mom and dad did it. Well, is that the faith that we're to contend for? Only in as far as it met the parameters of this faith. Are we going to contend for the faith of all of the major reformations that have taken place since the time of Christ? Are we contending for the faith of the Protestant Reformation of the 1500s? Or are we going to contend for the faith of the Wesleyan Reformation of the 1700s, where the Holy Spirit was being preached and sanctification? Or are we going to contend for the faith, the Holiness Reformation of the late 1800s? Is that the faith we're going to contend for? You see where this is taking us? Which Reformation are we going to choose to contend for? Jude said, contend for the faith that was once delivered. That was before the 1800s, saints. That was before the 1700s. That was before the 1500s. He was talking about the faith and the truth that was given by Jesus Christ and the apostles. We need to contend for that faith because that is the foundation of truth. And how I measure what took place in the 1500s, the just shall live by faith, I hear that and I say, where did that come from? Oh, it's in the Word of God. That's why I'll contend for it. Not because Martin Luther did that in the 1500s. I'm not contending then when we begin to talk about sanctification, living a holy life. Is it because the Wesley brothers taught that? And say, well, John and Charles Wesley, they taught that, so we're going to contend for that. What made it true? I'm going to have to go back to the foundation and say, what does the Bible teach? Okay, this is scriptural. So you say, why do you believe that? I'm not going to have to quote the Wesley brothers now. I can come back to the foundation of truth and say, I'm contending for holiness and purity because thus saith the Word of God. And then we say, well, what about the Reformation of the 1880s? Church of God Reformation of one. There's one body. Am I going to have to quote Brother D.S. Warner or F.G. Smith? Or who are we going to go to? Which book are we going to contend for this morning? Which book? Because I can find some different things in different books, so we're going to have to make some decisions. Which book are we going to contend for? Do you realize that as the Lord blessed in all of those reformation, we always want to come back to the foundation of faith. And as it was true, there is one body. God is not a polygamist. There is one bride, and the church of God is its name because I find it in the Word of God that way. So then I'm going to contend for that faith. See, that's what we're contending for, the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Isn't that exciting? See, we're not just fighting, we're not following just fables or, well, there was a meeting about 100 years ago, and oh, what faith are we contending for? You get on board with Jesus Christ and dig into the scriptures and you will find, as Brother Porter, you say, there's honey in the rock. You will find that this will become alive by the Holy Spirit. And when people ask, why do you live this way? What is this group of people? Those of you that meet over at that place that says Church of God is building, what's it all about? We can bring out the Word of God and say, this is the faith that we're contending for. But if we're just casual and lazy about it, and I was just born into this, and that's not contending. And that's why Jude said it is needful that you contend for the faith. And what a wonderful faith it is. Thank the Lord for it. The gospel then is not evolving or open to revision. Contend for the faith that was what? Once delivered. See, we're not adding to it now. We're contending for a faith that was given in the past, pointing back to Christ and the apostles. And that word in the Greek, when it says once delivered to the saints, it means once for all. In other words, it denotes completeness. It's a closed canon. And again, that was before all of these reformations took place. That's the faith we're to contend for this morning. So then why is it needful this morning to contend for the faith? It's because the dangers that Jude warned of are dangers that we are still facing here this morning in our world today. Doctrinal deception, if you read through some of Jude, he warns about, in the rest of the chapter, he warns about false prophets. That's why it's needful that we contend for the faith. Doctrinal deception, and Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy In the fourth chapter, in the third verse, he said, the time will come, and might I just add, and now is, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. We don't want sound doctrine anymore. We don't want the foundation of truth anymore. I want it like it makes me feel good. Someone shared with me recently, they were given some instruction. They said, go find a church that fits with your beliefs. Well, what about that? What about that? Do you realize that we are not to adjust the faith, the doctrinal system that was given to us and teaching us how to live? We're not to adjust that to us. We are to adjust our lives to this. And that's why there's only one way, and it's a narrow way, folks. It's a narrow way, but we need to contend for that. Let's not get casual. Let's not get lazy about it, because many people are just wanting to hear preach what they want. And that means, and that cuts on both sides. For some, it's worldly. In some, it's like, I want my personal standard to be held on you all. And that's what they contend for. You want to see someone get spiritually agitated that stands for outward holiness? If they don't have the Spirit of Christ, you will find them promoting themselves and their traditions more than the foundation of truth. But it's the Spirit that makes this alive and very personal. We want it personal, but we don't want to contend for something personal. We want to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And that will radically transform people's lives. That faith will radically transform. Well, this faith is building on the words of Christ. There are some people say, well, that group over there, that's a cult. You know what a cult is? Where you have a man as a leader and what they says goes. What they say, that's what goes. That's a cult. Can't think for yourself in a cult. It's whatever your leader says. Do you realize the church of God is not a cult? Because you are careful in your life, because you dress modestly, because you maybe you don't go everywhere the world goes, it's not because of the pastor, it's not because of grandpa and grandma, it's not just because of the church I go to, the church fellowship. This is personal, that I am living this way because I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And if you want to live differently than that, you are not accountable to me. You're going to be accountable to God. So, Lord, help me to contend for the faith. I want to please the Lord with my life, and I want to know why I'm living like I'm living. And when people say, oh, your church won't let you do that, what is your answer? Young folks, you need to get this down. What are you going to say? Oh, your church won't let you do that? Yes, I can. What are they going to do? I'm not going to come knocking on your door with a baseball bat. You have the right to live like you want. But if you want to live like the Scripture says, then take heed to the preaching of the truth. But we do it because of my love. That's our motivation. Because I love God, that's why I'm contending for this truth. Not just trying to preserve or capture something from another day, from a point in history, but we want to go back to Christ and what he taught us. So doctrinal deception, moral compromise, that's one of the other reasons Jude's like, it's really needful that I write unto you. Is there not moral decay in our society today? The things even with unsaved people that were one time seen as not right and seen as wrong, it's prolific in our society today. It's just like, do what feels good. There's very little moral responsibility in our society anymore. We need to contend for the faith. We need to live careful lives. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. We are under attack by the influence of the world, folks. And if we're not contending for the faith, we're going to find ourselves slipping under and giving into the influences of the world. Cultural trends are going to lead us away from truth in our society today. That's what's going to happen, so we need to contend for the faith. I'm not just going along. One of the other things why it's needful that I write unto you, that you earnestly contend for the faith, is because of the spiritual apathy that is in our world. There's a love. There are so many people that have a love of the world. So the question is, where is your love this morning? I love God. I mean, you try telling your children that, or your husband or wife, I love you. I mean, you know. It's like, that sounds like there's some indecision, doesn't it? Lord, I love you with all of my heart. And Lord, my relationship with you is more important than my family. It's more important than the congregation. It's more important than what the world thinks of me. Lord, I love you with all of my heart. Can we contend for that faith this morning? But we are under attack, because there is right among God's people, right among the church of God, there is a spirit of spiritual apathy and spiritual laziness. And I don't see among a lot of people, and I don't want to throw stones, and I don't want to cast too wide of a net, but saints, I want us to understand, if we get lazy, if we lose our fervency for the things of God, we can continue on, and the foundation of truth will become not much more than just tradition and lifestyle. And there are many, quote unquote, holiness groups that exist in the United States, and they have outward traditions, but there's no power of God in their lives. We are not exempt from that happening to us as a people, as a fellowship, as some of God's children. We are not exempt unless we contend for the faith, motivated by love. And if I recognize my love is getting a little cold, I want to come to the Lord and I want my love to be set on fire. I want to renew my vows. I don't want to fall out of love, but I want to choose daily the love for God. Cares of life are part of the thing that's causing spiritual apathy. Saints, people are getting too busy with the things of life. I told the young folks this morning, God does not want us to sit in this chapel living a holy life saying, Lord, we're waiting for you to come. He said, occupy till I come. Go get a job. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant vineyards while you're waiting on the Lord to come back. Well, so we have a job to do there. But then what happens is people get caught up with the priorities of life. And it begins to zap their zeal and their enthusiasm and their affections that need to be centered on God. And it's given to, well, I'm busy. I'm busy doing this. I'm busy doing that. Where is our love for God this morning? I want to challenge you and encourage you as I earnestly beseech you, contend for the faith this morning. Beware of spiritual apathy. And the reason why it was also necessary to write to them is because judgment is coming. Folks, the Lord Jesus is coming back. So it would behoove us to earnestly contend for the faith. Let's not surrender any part of our faith. Let's not surrender any part of truth. Because if there's one part of truth that we surrender to and quit contending for, it will leave the gate open. The floodgates will be opened, and we will begin to lose many other areas of our faith until we are separated from God. Over in Titus chapter 2, he said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching them that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, where? In this present evil world. I beseech you, brethren, I entreat you, contend for the faith. It was a call to action this morning. It's not a call to apathy. It is a call to action. Hearing is not enough. Well, we can know the truth. We can know the faith. We need to live it. Do you have a living faith? Because even the devils believe this morning. The devils believe and they tremble, but they're not living it. We are called to contend for it and live it. So again, are you contending for the faith? Are you actively pursuing it? What are your priorities this morning reveal about your faith? What's most important in your life? You know a tree by its fruit, right? So if the world looks on, the people you work with, the people you go to school with, your neighbors, what would they say is most important to you? So practical steps to contend for the faith. Folks, let's stay rooted in Scripture. It's what we've been preaching for 4 months now. Let's stay rooted in Scripture. I want to contend for the faith. I want to engage in fellowship. See, if I'm contending for the faith, I want to stay rooted in the Scripture. I want to engage in fellowship with other like-minded people that will help my faith to be strengthened. Iron sharpens iron. I don't want to get off by myself. I need to see you contending for the faith in where I am weak, or maybe I'm struggling. Your life will encourage me to step up and say, I don't want to let down. I want to be faithful to God in my life. So do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but contend for the faith. Put the Lord first in your life. Prioritize the Lord. Guard your priorities. There are things that are not sinful, but we need to do them in moderation. When it begins to rob us of our affection and the time that we spend in service to God, with our families, in all of these areas, we need to learn to prioritize. We need to learn better, folks, in this generation, how to say no to some of the lawful cares of life. Someone said, I just don't know what to do. I mean, when the phone keeps ringing and you keep getting business, it's like, I can't help it. Turn your phone off. There's more business. Well, say no. Because I'm going to put God first. And I know it's easier said than done, right? It's easier to preach it than to do it. I know. But yet, what's most important? So, Lord, give us wisdom and grace and understanding to maintain this balance of life, that for we are in every decision, we're putting God first in our life. Set personal standards in your life. See, we're contending for the faith, but it's going to take personal standards and uphold them in spite of pressure of your family and friends around you that say, you don't need to do that, folks. Personal standards are drawing lines in your life. I hope that's repetition. I hope you're thinking, Brother Michael, you've already been preaching that. Good. We're getting it then, if you remember. We need to set personal lines and standards in our life to help us to maintain those principles of truth and the doctrines. And if we do not contend, we're going to start coasting backward. If we don't contend, we're going to start going backward, and the world is going to start creeping in. Our love is going to start growing cold. And this has been the consequence of many that have stopped contending for the faith. They lost their experience with God, and we could give many, many examples for it. The Lord has not left us alone this morning. The last portion of Jude, in the 24th verse, he said, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." We're not doing this by ourselves, but if you will set your heart and contend for the faith, the Lord will help you to make it. He'll strengthen you and uphold you. So as we close this morning, and this series of messages, I don't want to think, well, Brother Michael's getting pretty long-winded. I know there's been some longer messages in this series, but I hope it'll edify us. If we're not contending, folks, and I'll just ask again, are you contending for the faith? You don't need to answer me. You don't need to shake your head up or down or sideways. Are you contending for the faith? If you're not, you are in a very dangerous place. And if you say, well, I'm not letting go of the good principles, and I still don't do this, and I still do, you could be left with a shell of tradition and have a form of godliness, but denying the personal power of God in our lives. I want to contend for the faith every day, contend for it, or we will lose ground. But I'm so thankful we don't have to do it by ourselves. The Lord will help us and strengthen us. May God bless you all in Jesus' name.